Google fast fashion, and you will see pages of articles about the fashion industry's negative impact on the environment and on the people who make our clothes. Luckily, more brands are becoming aware of the role they can play to reduce the use of natural resources and rethink how they create fashions. We're about to hear a fun and impactful story about thought leadership and partnership on this show. Hello, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Ready for the fashion-forward Goodwill style? With me in studio to share with us what this great idea is all about are Judith Roman Ukasas. And I said it right, Jude, right? And Nancy Spaulding, Fashion Design Discipline Lead and Program Coordinator with Pima Community College. This is so cool, everybody. Together, they challenged the Pima Community College fashion textile students to put what they were learning into practice by creating a fashion collection. The result? Good Wow Fashion. With upcycled and reused materials from Goodwill thrift stores, it was born. Students created 14 looks, which will proudly be showcased by a walk down the runway at Pima Community College Fashion Art Show 2019. So, Judy and Nancy, it's great to have you here. I can't wait to hear more about the story. But before we dive in, a quick energy tip from our valued partner, Tucson Electric Power. And who doesn't want energy tips? Oh my gosh, this is a hashtag OMG. Repair leaky faucets. A leaky faucet wastes gallons of water and can waste energy if the leak is in a hot water faucet. Save water, save energy, and be an active planet preserver. And if you want to test it someday, just put your faucet on a tiny little bit and put a jar in it, under it, and see how much water you can accumulate in a jar in just a matter of minutes. So I'm going to get started a little bit differently. I want to talk about Nancy because I love stories and how they relate to what we're doing and what excites you about Good Wow, because I love that. So Nancy grew up in what she calls the cradle of the Industrial Revolution, New England. She was influenced by family members who were designers in the apparel arena and thus was always designing and making fashion as a child. And I wish I had some of those sketches. She studied apparel design in college and went on to work in product development, design, and manufacturing. Nancy has worked with companies like J. Crew to Victoria's Secret, quite a range in there, I must add, and several smaller companies throughout her career. She owned an accessory design company for nearly 10 years, and Nancy is the lead faculty program coordinator, as I said, in the Fashion Design Department of Pima Community College West Campus, where she teaches textiles, design, and digital apparel technology, which, of course, I have no idea what that is, but maybe you're going to tell us. And Judy, you're just the director of marketing. You have stuff to do all the time, and you're busy 24 hours a day because there's a lot in the creative space to do about creating partnerships and market force and identity for Goodwill in new and different ways. It's never ending. So yes. Isn't that a good summation of that?
Yes.
And I said your last name right, so that's really
that's
good.
Amazing. Thank you. So
I would like to ask both of you, how did you decide to partner on a sustainable fashion project? Like, what's the backstory? I always want to know, like, how did this come about? Are your missions similar? If so, how so? But tell the story.
So I started with Goodwill 5 years ago, and in my interview, I said, I want to do a fashion show. And we were able to do several since, but I always kind of had my eye on Pima Community College because I know that they had a fashion department. And it's just been recently that we've been able to connect. But I always felt that, you know, a community college and Goodwill is such a great and natural partnership because our missions are very much alike. We believe in education. We believe in helping people find that career pathway that they want to go on. And so we have programs. We have 6 youth programs and 6 adult programs at Goodwill of Southern Arizona to help people do that. And we have a great relationship with PCC in general by having our youth and some of our adult program participants attend some of those classes. And when Nancy had reached out to us, for this project, I'm just like, well, that's a no-brainer.
I've been wanting to do this for 5 years.
Like, you put it out in the universe, and then, like, it just came back.
So, Nancy, what was the impetus behind you? What was happening? It is such a great idea. You know that I think it's a great idea.
Yes. Well, I teach textiles, and in my textiles class, we talk a lot about sustainability from day one. So the students are exposed to topics in sustainability throughout the semester. So when I connected with Judith and Matthew at Goodwill, and they talked about this project, I said to my students, would you rather do a research paper and a poster, or would you rather something into a new fashion from Goodwill? And of course, that was a no-brainer. So the whole class was on board, and we had so much fun. We had a blast.
And it taps into, I've watched some of the videos that one of you sent me that Matthew probably took, and who's Matthew? Matthew Flores, who's here filming us as we speak. So we're going to be really behaving on this show today because we're being caught on video. But the fashions, and I don't know anything about this. I used to sew and make all my clothes in high school, period. That's the end of my ability.
Right.
So what I saw, there's such a difference in creativity from having an idea and making it,
right,
and then seeing other things and figuring out how to make something of beauty. Am I right?
You're right. Well, at Pima Community College, the West Campus where I teach and where our program is located, we have amazing fashion resources. And we have a trend service out of New York called Fashion Snoops. And it's for our students. And I said to the students, okay, we're going to do this upcycle project, but we're going to be more fashion forward about it. We're just not going to get a bunch of stuff and just upcycle it. Let's have a theme. Let's look to what's happening in fall of 2019 or spring 2020, and let's just see what's happening. So the students researched. They got together. We voted on a particular theme.
And what's the theme?
It's, well, they wanted to do desert, but the Southwest influence is heavy in fashion right now.
That's really good from a sustainability point of view. That's where we live.
Yeah, right. And so I said, okay. So then it came down to the name. What are we going to call our brand? And so that took a few votes. And then they finally came up with Good Wow.
Don't you love it, though?
I do love it.
Who would not love that?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it was born in the classroom, and it was great. I mean, students really took ownership of it.
And in terms of the creative learning space, so much more now in the world in which I live and observe and participate in, cooperative learning, working together, learning about collaboration,
right,
it's the thing.
It is the thing.
It's the sum of the parts.
Right.
It's so much greater. You know, the whole is so much greater than the sum of the parts.
Right.
And I love when that happens, even in our team, when we have time to develop stuff about the show. So I think it's really exciting. What would you say that caring about sustainable fashion has been a part of your journey from the get-go? Or did you have an awakening?
It's been coming on in our area more and more because this is such a huge topic in fashion right now.
Yeah.
And some of the companies that are out there, I mean, from big designers like Stella McCartney to companies like Reformation in Los Angeles, and some of the big players are now realizing that we can't just keep polluting our earth. We have to do something about it.
And hurting our people.
And hurting our people, absolutely. So students really, really resonate with us because it's something that they care about. We do a lot of talking and learning about what happens in the textile industry. When I grew up in New England, many of the factories that were dyeing things just discharged all of their waste right into the rivers.
Right.
I remember seeing green and blue and pink rivers.
It'll just go away,
right. So, you know, in talking about what's happening not only in this country but in other countries with sustainability, I think students are realizing that it's a global thing now. And it's, even though we're sitting here in Tucson, we can play our small part into, you
know,
the whole
industry. And who knows when the next hot hip happening designer is going to happen in Tucson that will really influence the whole fashion industry.
Right.
There was a young man from Tucson that was just on The Voice.
Right.
And that was very cool. I mean, you don't know what you're tapping into when you have someone that's opening their creativity portal and happening. I have to give a shout out a little bit to Eileen Fisher too. I had someone from her sustainability office on the show a long time ago. And here's what I loved. They had all these really aggressive benchmarks. Mm-hmm. And on the show, she said, we had to change it. We can't do it. Because it's just not the flip of a switch. You don't say, as Eileen Fisher, well, we're going to only source our fashion sustainably now. It takes years.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sad part. So there's still the toll.
Right.
But they were honest. She was brutally honest. She said, they were very aggressive. We knew that. But we have to just go back a little bit. And we're not giving up at all. It's just taking more time. And one of the examples she gave, they wanted to start an apparel manufacturing industry in New York. And mm-hmm. guess what? They couldn't get the workers for okay. what they could pay. And that's the reality too. She said we couldn't launch it. So there's those harsh realities. They had warehouse space and it was going to be mm-hmm. ethical working conditions. And she said we couldn't do it. So the fact that they want to and they're continuing, it's a heavy lift. It really is.
It's one step at a time.
It is.
I mean, you can't just change a person's behavior, you know, overnight. And, you know, for us at Goodwill, that's kind of what we realize when we're also working with the people that are in our programs. But it's really just being as conscious as possible, you know, how you're living and where you're sourcing and that kind of stuff. So
and I have a long question for you, and I tried to make it shorter, but it's not.
Okay.
It's just not a short question. I mean, you've been on the show numerous times. We always learn something new. Sometimes we restate what we have had because we have new listeners. But we know that Goodwill is about resale. And most people think of Goodwill as a resale store for clothing and household items.
Mm-hmm.
We all know it's much more than that because of the programs you do to help youth and people reentering the workforce, and the beat goes on. You fund really good programs. So I'd like to know what your thoughts are about what Goodwill's role is when it comes to sustainable fashion. Do you think there's a role for you in this?
Absolutely.
I know the fashion show is one.
Yes.
Good
I
answer.
Mean, so when you consider how many millions of pounds of stuff that Goodwill takes in as donations and then also resells. I think, you know, last fiscal year we were able to divert over 30 million pounds of stuff out of the landfill. And this is because people have donated and people have shopped with us. So those items get that second or third life. And then when you have, you know, furniture that's donated to us and our youth restoration project gets a hold of it, I mean, that's, you know, like a piece of good hardwood furniture could be around like 100 pounds. And so if you don't have to stick that in a landfill and you can refurbish it and restore it, it'll find a second home. And that's just the way that we're trying to help the environment, making sure that when people go and shop at Goodwill, they realize that not only are they keeping stuff out of the landfill, but they're also supporting some really great programs in our community. So it's not just sustainability in terms of, you know, helping the environment, but it's also sustainability in terms of the workforce in our community and how we're actually elevating mm-hmm. people's talent and potential, you know, for their future and being able to support their families. So that's our role in sustainability, I believe. And I think, you know, people can just feel good about when they're shopping at Goodwill, they can find some really good quality stuff too. So when you'd mentioned fast fashion in the beginning, you know, you get something that'll last, you know, maybe a couple of wears, but it took so much more natural resources to create
right.
something. And so, you know, when you can find something at Goodwill that's really good quality and you can, you know, have that item for a lifetime, then you're actually helping, you know, or not using the natural resources to, or contributing to the use of natural resources when you buy something new.
Right.
And, but again, you know, it's something that people have to do step by step. I mean, there's only so many things you can buy secondhand, but it's still a really good practice. And I'm really excited that people are realizing and living consciously that that hopefully, you know, in the future, people think of Goodwill as not just a place to donate, but to shop and really you know.
Style it up.
Style it
up. And boy, do we think that. And it was so funny because we have a whole new family from my youngest daughter's marriage, and a wonderful family. It's like if you could like write up the job description, mm-hmm. we got that family. And I think they feel the same way. So we all went to Denver over Christmas. And I wish you could have been there because I was born and raised in a thrift shop family at a time when I was not allowed to tell anybody. Because you didn't do that. I mean, I was mm-hmm. wearing secondhand clothes. And my mom said, it's just better with the high school you're in. Just don't talk about that you got it at the Red Bank thrift shop. That has changed. Mm-hmm. When you came over the other day, I ran in. I said, oh my gosh, I have to get you this dress I got. And I couldn't wait to show you. It was a $300 dress that I got for $38.
Yes.
So now people brag about it. Colin Firth's wife wears it on the runway, right? So it's become okay. But it was interesting to see their family, and this is not judgment, it's absolutely observation. They aren't thrifters. Mm-hmm. So we went, and it was my three daughters and me. And like 3 hours later, they're like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? But it was marvelous. So it's we've introduced them into that world. And one of the, like my son-in-law's grandmother, it was so fun to watch her because she would sit down and then she'd look and she'd see a sweater and she'd go get it. And then she'd sit down and she'd look this way and she'd see another sweater and she'd go get it. But it's really, it is, like you said, it's step by step. Not everybody has the thrifting thing down. And you might think it's junk. You might think it's gross. You might think anything. And what you should think of is honking deals, good buys, quality stuff instead of, I have to buy these secondhand clothes. Mm-hmm. I don't want to play retail ever for the rest of my life.
Oh, and you should see. So the pieces that Nancy's students had come up with, you know, we're holding it right now and I love to like pull it out and kind of take a look at it. But you can't imagine the quality of the fabrics that they were able to find. And a lot of them actually went to our outlets. Because we sell by the pound. And so, you know, they were like digging in the bins and stuff for their
materials.
And it
was affordable for them to even do the project then.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and we were able to support them with a gift card so that they could, you know, at least take that first step. But some of the fabrics that they pulled out, I was just like, well, shoot. I mean.
Right.
It was just like TV. I watched that show where they give them a card to go shop and you have just this much money.
Right.
And I think about it, make sure that we get images that people who are listening can see on our website when we post the show, because that will be wonderful for people to see the visuals. So I'd like to ask both of you also, just Nancy, actually, I want to see, what are you seeing in the fashion industry, because you're in it, in terms of a direction, not towards sustainable fashion for new clothes. Are you seeing more in the space of recreating and doing, you know, having fashions that are restyled and redone? Is there anything trending on Twitter about that?
I think that there are several brands. I mean, if you just Google that, you'll find several brands that are really sharing space with retail right now with upcycling. And it's reality. People get to know these brands and then they can shop with these brands.
And people are making thousands of dollars on Poshmark.
Right.
Things like Poshmark.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's upcycling.
Right.
And my daughters are on it. It's a pain in the neck for me. I'm not doing it.
Well, there's a denim brand called Redone where they take jeans and then they upcycle them. So, and the denim industry is huge. So, you know, people can buy upcycled denim.
It all helps.
It all helps.
It all helps.
On our runway, in addition to Goodwill, we have two student brands, emerging designer brands, we call them, that are upcycling garments. And one of the collections is a gal, her name is Erin Donahue, and she has a brand called Applause Lingerie. And she is upcycling fabrics from Goodwill and other thrift stores into new lingerie items. So she's doing bras, she's doing panties, she's doing robes. So she will have that on our runway, and the pieces are absolutely beautiful. She's done an amazing job. She does have, you know, some fabrics that she's purchased because, you know, you have to for some
things
in
the
lingerie.
Does she have any flannel pajamas upcycled?
Now, this is a little more elegant than flannel pajamas.
High-end. But yes. Nancy, seriously, that link will be on our show page as well.
Yes.
Applause Design.
Applause Lingerie. And the other brand that
Applause
has
Lingerie.
Really done well, it was born in our classrooms, is a brand called Chaos and Denim.
Oh my gosh.
And she is upcycling denim jackets. And last year at our show, our first show at the Fox Theater, we had a marketplace last year and she sold over $2,000 worth of jackets that night. And she's
Is she from Tucson?
She's from Tucson.
My gosh.
So chaos and denim.
Got it.
And she is got the rockinest jackets and she's selling. She's doing fashion shows all over. So she's really going far with this.
And there's no such thing as too many denim jackets. I'm sorry. It's just women like them and they can wear short ones, long ones, and they you can dress them up, you can dress them down. I mean, it's really nice to go to meetings in an upstyle denim jacket.
She follows the trends and her jackets are great.
So, Judith, perfect segue. So that's a trend, a really good trend. What do you see in terms of its impact on Goodwill for the upcycling industry? Is there anything you can measure? I know it's a massive thing to have to measure and you can't know where that item is going, but can you tell in any way by sales or what's going out of the store? Is there any way to assess that whatsoever?
I don't think we are able to measure how many clothing purchases are made are going to be upcycled. I know that we can, you know, see some of the furniture that goes out and we're like, okay, well, it's not perfect, but we do have, you know, some people tell us like they'll come in and they'll pick out furniture and then they'll redo and restore and, you know, upcycle and things like that. But I think what's great is that once people realize that they can source their materials from Goodwill and not have to, you know, buy new fabric. I mean, of course, you know, sometimes you do for some pieces, but you can have a truly one-of-a-kind piece. You know, these are, like you guys were talking about designers and how if they are upcycling already created fabrics, you're not always going to create the same piece. And I think that's the most exciting thing I think about designing.
One of a kind.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of a kind. Yeah. Another perfect segue. Seriously, I wish we had a visual. I wish you had brought the clothes, but that's asking a lot.
see it on the runway.
Katie's going to see it. I'm going to be out of town, but she's going to see it and film it and get it out there on social media. And she can't wait. I mean, she went to the Fashion Institute. She's the right person to be going for that. Mm-hmm. And hopefully she'll get some good interviews with some of the students. But do either of you have a favorite piece or two that you could even minimally describe that gets you excited and what it looks like? I mean, it's tough on a podcast to make the visual happen, but or something that struck you that's really exciting?
I think my personal favorite piece is Crystal, one of your students, is the denim jackets. I don't know if it's the same line you were talking about. So she is also upcycling denim jackets. She's hand painting things on the back, and you know she's using different accessories and stuff to really do up her jackets. I think she's going to be at the marketplace too, selling some of her things. But we just did a video with her with the Daily Star to kind of focus on sustainability and the way that she's using jackets. But the first one that she created for the class, I don't have the talent. So I'm like, this is amazing. And it's, and I think, you know, when people think of, oh, it's a fashion show, a lot of people think, well, it's just going to be a lot of like females on the runway. But that specific jacket, she's going to have a male model it. And I mean, it's just the amount of detail. And I mean, I don't want to describe it because I want you all to see it. But that's one of my favorite pieces is the painted denim.
Okay. Yes. Did you think of anything?
Well, I think one of the pieces that I really like is it's not really a suede, but it's a fake suede and it's got a lot of lacing and it's got some interesting sleeves and it's going to be really cute on the runway.
It's going to be really cute. When I'm sad, I'm like really sad. And you, Judith knows me. I really am. I can't be everywhere and my daughter's having a baby, so I'm not sad about heading north to where it's. I can be there when that baby's born, but it's unbelievable. So the details, we'll put out the details. And I want this podcast to be more timeless. So it's not we don't like to just do a podcast about events, which obviously we didn't. But my question about it is, it's going to be an event. There are lots of pieces to it that are other skill sets, mm-hmm. like how to put it all together, the styling, timing, the yes. staging, those pieces that the skill sets are acquired. Do you see, and I guess, Nancy, this would really be to you as the person with the closest connection to the students, do you think something like this can really have lasting impact? Is there a ripple effect?
Yes, I do. I teach textiles in the fall semester again, and I'll use the same project in the fall semester. But also,
does that mean there's going to be another fashion show?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Just let me know right away.
but also, it got me thinking about using our lab space on Saturdays to do upcycling workshops. So
that's so awesome. And would you open it to the public?
Or would it just be the public? Yeah, it's a non-credit community. Anybody can sign up to do upcycling in our lab. So we'll be introducing those in the fall. And maybe
that's
something
like a big bam to me. Like bam.
Right.
And I know that everyone in my life right now, except probably my husband, would laugh because he knows I speak the truth. At some point, I will sew again. I loved it. It was therapeutic for me. I was very precise because I went to Catholic school and we wore a lot of plaid. And you know how hard it is to
yes,
match the plaids when you cut it out. Nancy was like, oh my gosh. When my mother was an exquisite seamstress. Her dresses would be put on display in high school in the case.
Wow.
So she taught, my godmother, so I learned well. But it for someone with, I kind of have adult ADD, I get lost in it. It's hours of focus and fun.
It is. And I think for myself, I tell my students I started my career when I was 8, only I didn't know it.
I believe that.
And, I just grew up just being creative because that was what I did back then.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for students today to experience creativity, working with their hands, doing something, imagining something, sketching out an idea, and then seeing it come to life, and then walk on a runway. I mean, how good is that?
It's the whole green enchilada. So do give us the details at the event, because some people will listen to it beforehand and they'll say, I can't believe that she didn't put the details out there because I want them. So give us the details. This is the Fox Theater.
So their first event is on May 1st.
That's right.
At the Tucson Museum of Art. And that's our VIP cocktail. And that is a fundraiser for both Pima Community College's Fashion Design Department and the Museum of Art. And
how great is that?
It's great. It's wonderful. And some of our student brands will be in the marketplace there. But we also have a local designer from Green Valley. Her name is Ruby Jane. Ruby Jane. And we also are going to have a designer from New York who is really focused on sustainability, who's from Arizona. Her name is Nicholas Kay. So she's coming in. We have a DJ from New York Fashion Week who's going to be putting on the tunes.
How
we
awesome.
Have all sorts of cool things happening the night of the museum.
That How much is, are those tickets?
Those tickets are $75 each, but that also gets you a free VIP seat to the fashion show on Saturday night, May 4th at the Fox Theater.
In the good old-fashioned, articulate, highly elevated word, that's a ganga. That's a ganga.
It is.
And the Museum of Art is such a beautiful venue.
It's a beautiful
venue.
Space. Ugh. And the Fox Theater last year was our first show there, but we sold out the Fox.
People just like, when you told me that, get my head around it. It's a big theater to fill out.
Right.
A very big theater.
So somebody said to me, the fire marshal shut you down because you've got too many people. And I'm like, cool.
Which is so affirming for the space
right.
that I live in, that this is a draw like that.
Well, and I think, you know, for our students, it's our end of the year celebration for their hard work throughout the
and
entire
And their families come and their friends
families come.
Families come
and
yes.
friends, and it's just a great time. We've partnered with Gadabout Salon Spas this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing all of our hair and makeup.
So you know that'll be a big
wow. It'll be gorgeous. They
right.
did our hair and makeup last year. It was stunning. We also have Desert Vintage on our runway this year.
Wonderful.
So they've got some fabulous vintage upcycled pieces.
Right.
And
Gadabout, you'll be able to shop.
Yes. And Gadabout and Desert Vintage are going to do 4 decades of fashion in Tucson because we're all, at some level, celebrating anniversaries this year.
Oh, gosh, it's going to
so
be so
it's going to be
fun.
A great event. I just encourage people to come out. Tickets are on Eventbrite. www.ReadyForTheFashionForwardGoodwillStyle.com, and I think you have that information.
Yes, and we'll have the link also on the show, which will come out tomorrow, I think.
Right, and then people can also buy tickets at the door at the Fox.
Okay,
on
great.
The 4th.
Great.
The doors will open at 5:30. Yes, we have a silent auction. We have lots and lots of community people in Tucson, businesses who have donated things to our silent auction, because that also helps to raise money for not only our department, but for the Tucson Museum of Art as well. So, and the money goes directly to our department, but moreover, it is money that we can then give away to our students.
Which is so great. It's another wonderful thing about Pima. When you talk about relatable, it's affordable too.
It is affordable.
James and I took every course we could take at Pima.
Right.
Every course before we went to the U of A.
But, you know, some of our students are financially challenged, and just having us help them with a couple of courses makes a difference.
Or buy some books. Or a stipend of $500
Absolutely.
Means the world
it does.
To the Pima students.
And so, but it also rewards, you know, good work ethic and, you know, creating some cool things and just being, you know, just being in the in their own little version of the industry here in Tucson.
Okay.
So
wonderful, wonderful. All excitement, collaboration. It's got it all. So the thing that I love is that I get the last word. It's not always. So I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to thank you for being here. Thank you for what you're doing. On April 30th, Mary Greer and Anna Spitz, another great happening in Arizona, the Agnes Helms Howery Leaving a Living Legacy. And it's all about Mrs. Howery and what her millions of dollars have done for students, those students that $500 a semester makes a difference between being able to do it or not. And on April 2nd, Richard Bachmeier, TEP, Switching On, The Importance of When You Use Electricity. And as everybody knows, electricity, for the most part, is not going to get less expensive. So anything we can do to learn how to save energy and conserve energy and get our bills down will be greatly appreciated. So here's my last word, and it's personal. Perhaps one of the biggest and most painful parts of my journey as Mrs. Green was learning about the filthy fashion industry. Not just the harsh and devastating impact it has on the environment, including intensive water use, excessive waste, the use of harsh chemicals, the use of energy. It's massive and contributes greatly to the acceleration of our rapidly and increasingly warming climate. Those pieces were hard enough. But diving into the abuse of humans is what completely turned my world upside down, and it has never stopped. I was that person that bought the $5 t-shirts for my entire family for any holiday, Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Christmas, you name it, I was on it. Everybody in the family got a matching t-shirt, whether they liked it or not. Then I learned about sweatshops, about real and proven slave labor, heinous working conditions, child labor, exposure of the people making my $5 t-shirt to all those harsh chemicals I talked about before. I watched videos and interviewed guests from all over the world, and it has shaped my path forever. Now I buy much less. I don't buy any t-shirts made at the expense of other human beings. And at this point, it's pretty safe to say that about 85% of what I buy comes from resale stores, and Goodwill is one of them. I'm constantly texting Judy, look what I found. Does that make me a hero? Should I get a big high five for that? Or should that be the norm and not even a topic of conversation? Because isn't that what everybody is doing these days? Wouldn't that be nice? Let's be a part of making that dream come true. I applaud Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona and Pima Community College for their creativity and their willingness to do what I call something that is hot, hip, happening, not harmful. And I wish them well. Thanks for being a part of my world, and thank you both for being here. It was really fun.
Thank you.